same book, but I'm going to read you something. I thought about this morning, and I looked it up and read it. See if I can find it again. If you want to turn to underline this in your Bible, if you practice this, underlining, commit it to memory, and trust the Lord for this little verse of Scripture, and be patient. You know, patience is a virtue. And it was mentioned that you're praying for a pastor. And what I would suggest, maybe you're doing this, just a suggestion, is that every week you come together, maybe Wednesday night while you're here at church, and just have a special time when all the men will just round through the building, pray to God for a pastor. Because here's a promise for you. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors. What kind of pastor is he going to give you? One according to mine heart, he says, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I hope you get one with a good personality, but that's not a scriptural reason to call a pastor. I hope that he might have some amusing thoughts, but he's not to amuse you. He's not to have charisma. He's to be a man of God, chosen of God, before the foundation of the world. I will give you pastors, according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And understand this. And God placed some in the church. And God placed some in the church. You know who those some are? I'm looking at that, the some that God placed in the church. So there's a message that man preached one time. You know what the title of that message was? Just stay with the stuff. Lord bless you to stay with the stuff. So you do that. Pray. Wait upon the Lord. And get some references from godly men that believe the truth. And question those men on the truth. I don't know how you do it. That's between you and the Lord. But to me, a good way to question a man that's being considered for the ministry is just take your articles of faith and sit down with him and say, what do you believe about this? Let him tell you. And a mistake, and I've been in the ministry a long time, I'm not saying you're making mistakes, but I know that a lot of churches make a mistake. They'll say, now brother, this is what we believe. Do you believe that? If he's wanting the pastor real bad and wanting a place to go, oh, yes, I believe that. Now, the best way is to say, well, what do you believe on the Scriptures? About God, about the church, about the Holy Spirit, all. See it all down through the mind. So, we're praying for you. I ask people all over the countries I travel to pray for you. And God's going to give you a pastor according to his own heart, one to love you, lead you, and treat you. 1 John chapter 3. And let's look at verses 10 through 18. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, underline that word doeth. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. We're talking about the practicality. It's practical to be in fellowship with God and His church and His people. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Look at this. And consider this. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, his brother's righteous. That's the world. He had the world philosophy about religion. He didn't have a scriptural philosophy of religion. You know what his philosophy was? He brought the fruit of his hands. that which he worked for. He presented that to God. That's religion. Pure and simple. Trying to do something to make God accept you. Why did he slew his brothers? His works were evil. His brothers righteous. He was doing what was right. More than that, my brethren, if the world hates you. This amazes me. I read all the time about things that happened in the Dark Ages. Are we being persecuted? Not yet. We're being tested and tried. But you go back, we've got a book that we're using in our devotions this year. It's got 366 incidents that happen on each date, just like today's date. You read about, yesterday it was about Charles Spurgeon. And a godly life. And a man that pleased God. We've read about people that were killed. When was it? Early in the week. A whole family was murdered, beheaded because of their faith. See what I'm saying? The world hates God. And they hate you because they hate God. He that committed sins of the devil. Well, the devil sinned from the beginning. So what did Cain do? He slew his brother. More than that, my brother, that the world hate you. We know that we pass from death unto life. Here's the test. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Let me ask you something today. Do you have aught against any of your brethren? Here or anywhere? I can disagree, but I can't hate. I can't use evil intents against my brother. I can't follow my fleshly desires. You know, it says the things that I should do, I don't. The things that I don't do, I should. You may feel like punching your brother in the nose for him getting out of line. But what does the Bible say? Love your weak brother. Pray for your weak brother. Try to lead your weak brother back into the fold. So, we need to understand these things. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You ever consider that? Remember when Jesus taught on the Ten Commandments? He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, covetousness, theft, wickedness, and evil eye. All these things come from within and defile the man. We hate our brother. That's the same as murder, because murder comes from the evil heart of intent. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Here's another test. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso, now here, look at this now. But whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelt the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, this is where many falter. Many times we even fail. Oh yes, we rejoice in great truth. We want to hear great truth. We want to say we believe great truth. We want to give lip service to God and to man. But we need practically to walk in the truth that... In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 6 and 7, where we read this morning. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk, see, our walk and our profession is to go together. And we walk in darkness, we know that if we walk in darkness, here's what happens. We have sweet, and then something, we have a little bit, make it good because it is good. And it's truth. We have good, wonderful, sweet fellowship that brings joy with one another. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. You know what that is? It's like one of my old teachers in college used to say, that's a linear verb. Anybody know what a linear verb is? I'll tell you what a linear verb is. That word cleanses. He can go like this when he's saying, it cleanses and cleanses and cleanses, and it cleanses and cleanses and cleanses. We ain't got no excuse, do we? That's what he's saying. About our sins. And you understand that, don't you? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. In 3 John 4, if you want to underline this, read it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. You know what that walk is? Is we know the truth and we do the truth. And as we grow in grace, we know more truth, and we walk in that truth. And so we grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We accept that truth, act upon that truth, are blessed in that truth, and it brings joy to our hearts. Christianity is a practical thing. It never allows for, well, preacher, I tell you, I listen to this message, I heard you, I'll try that, and listen, I've heard people, if it doesn't work, I'll have to try something else, Mama, no. It works. It works. Let me tell you how that works. I can tell you some stories. And somebody said, why don't you write a book? I said, well, I'd have to give it to Baptist or sell it to them. And they wouldn't believe it anyway. You know the car I'm driving? I got that car when it had 0 miles on it. They went to Georgetown, picked it up, green soil in Lexington, hauled it over there, unloaded it off the trailer, and I went and picked it up. We had an old car, if you remember, an old Chevrolet. It had almost 300,000 miles. The engine was going, the transmission was going, and one day, someone went to town and came back, and there's a hill where you have to go up. And she came home. She cried. She said, I almost didn't make it up that hill. The transmission was slipping real bad. But you know what she said while she was weeping? She said, but we have no fear God's going to give us a car. That car out there was given to us. Title given to us. Paid in full. Can those things really happen? When we left West Virginia almost 7 years ago, we had no place to go. We was getting a grand total of $1,590 a month to live on. We was going to go in government housing. Last week of May, I was given a deed to the house we live in. Paid in full. Did we ask anybody for that house? No. We never dreamed we'd have that house. You know what one church gave toward that house? $20,000 check for the Faith Baptist Church to help buy that house for us. What would God honor us like that and bless us like that? When we went into the ministry 49 years ago, we went home the day I announced my call to preach, and we opened our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I said, Thelma, I've only been saved 2 years. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to prepare a sermon. I don't know anything. Underline this scripture. You know what it says? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I said, we'll need help from God to get us through our ministry. And He's helped us. You know what? verse 19, same chapter. My God shall supply all, not whatever I have. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what? That's practical. We didn't try, it didn't work. We just did what God asked us to do and go where God asked us to go. Have we been perfect saints, perfect fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers? No. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. We love one another. We love God because God loved us. We love His church. We've always ministered to a church that loved Him and followed after. James 2:26. Faith without works is dead. Works are the consequences of salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of him. If any man should boast. Does that mean I sit down, don't do anything to prove that I'm saved? No, because there's a verse following that. For we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus, unto good works. Psalm 96:2 says this. Sing it. How many times in your life have you found yourself telling someone how you were saved? In all my years of being saved, 51 years, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've told people the blessing of salvation. What God did for me through the gospel. See, truth is not merely something to believe or to preach. Something to be done. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We know the truth and do the truth. So what do we call that? Look in verse 10 of chapter 3. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Do not the truth is a problem. We do the truth. So there's righteousness in action. Look at some practical things that we find in the Scriptures. And you can write these down and look at them later. I'll read them to you. Colossians 2:6 says, we have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord. How did we receive him? By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Is it our faith? No, it's God's faith that he gives us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so, what you if you confess Christ, walk the talk. Romans 1:7. Paul said this to all. Call them his saints. You know what that word saint signifies? Sanctify the salvation and set. God. What's he saying to us there? Be what we are. We talk about progressive sanctification. What's that? We're set apart for the glory of God, and in progressive sanctification, we walk the walk, we talk the talk, we do the work, we live for him. And what's our text verse say? And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John 13:17, to go along with that. If you know these things, happy are you if you do. What's he saying there? Do what we know. Matthew 7:21. But everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, bring into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven. What's he saying there? That's a practical thing. Practice what we say. The distinct difference is in the saying and the doing. Not just the saying, but the doing. Look in verse 11. For this is the message, chapter 3, that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What am I going to say about that? Love and action. Love is an emotional thing. How come so many marriages end up on the rocks? How come so many, you hear of it every day, people living together in sin, never get married? It's an emotional thing. But the love that we show in Christ Jesus, I call it emotional. Not emotional, but emotional. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains us. What does it mean? It puts that determination in our heart to be pleasing to Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. And He gave us that commandment that we should love one another, even as He loved us, love one another, so that we can have sweet communion and fellowship. You know what Daniel 11:32, I preach messages on this one. The people that know what's he saying there? The new deeds of heroism. Then, remember that verse I quoted you? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. How do we know it works? How do we know the Bible works? Try it and prove it. Say a thing. And see how simple it is when you read it to do it. And then do it. Exercise love. Exercise caring. All that. We put love into practice. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Yeah. Even as I've loved you, that you love one another. That's practical. Why? That's the foundation of this church. It's fellowship. All that you accomplish is through the love of God. Love is a practical thing. Look what we do. He says in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And love is evident. Look at verse 14. We know that we pass from death unto life, that we're saved, born again. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. By this shall all men know that you have are my disciples if you have love one for another. Practice love in the things that we do. We don't tell people we love them. We show them we love them. We manifest what Jesus is to others through what we do. Somehow or other, I told you a couple of examples of how people loved us. They did that because they loved us. How they loved me and them, I don't know. I know I'm not a very lovable person. But because of their love, they reached out their hand to me. And you know something? If there's a need, and you can meet that need, meet it. Try it. Prove me. Jesus said, try me. Prove me therewith. See if I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to contain it. Can you give a person your last $10, your last $100? You know what happens when you do that? Now, I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel. I'm not saying send $100 to my address down at Garrison and next week you'll get $1,000. That's stupid. And that's the way God works. And that man that does that, if you see him on television, he's probably got a whole sluice of Cadillacs and SUVs and boats and everything. He lavishes on himself. What I'm talking about is really serving God and loving people enough to exercise and practice that love toward them. Look beyond ourselves to others, is what I'm saying. Because you know what the next point is? Sacrifice in action. See, this is love in past form. Love is... You know where we get our example from? Fill back the tree with the river blood. And we... What a brother. But whoso hath this world's goods and saith his brother have need, setteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? Now, notice something about that verse. Get this right. This lot of this church is the brethren. You don't need a food bank to feed everybody that's too hungry and sorry to work. You don't need the clothing store to supply everybody clothes and sits out here and lays it around. I'll tell you what to do sometimes. Homeless for work for food. You know what to do? I've done it. Offer some work. Offer some work. All these homeless people, if they were really in need, they'd take a job. Right now, there's probably, I forget, like what, 60 million jobs in the United States of America that need filled. When my son looks at, like, what, 60-some people short, what do? They slow down the lines where he works for his production manager so they can keep up with the slow pace and keep... Why? Nobody wants to work. Love is sacrifice and action. And the best... See, Christ's example is paramount. He laid down his life for us. He gave himself a ransom for us. He gave his life a ransom for us. That's his expectation. It's clear. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do we do that? In essence, yes, we do. If you see your brother have need and sets up your bowels of compassion. How wonderful of God in you. He laid down his life once for all. Hebrews 10:12. Neither by the blood of God, but by his own blood. He even walked into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 26 of that same chapter, but now not in the room of for himself. We lay down. You know what that laying down is? It's a continual daily process. As we progress in faith, in love to him, love to others, we lay down our lives. We lay our lives on the line to do that to help others. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He exhibited his love by laying down his life and death for us. This is to be the motive to our laying down our lives for others. Laying our mind on the line in the service of God and for others. Then, kindness in action. Verse 17. That whoso hath this world's goods, seeth his brother have need, set up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? I'm going to give you an illustration of this happening, what we're talking about. A preacher friend of mine had a son. He seemed like he could never accomplish anything in his Christian life. He got killed in a car wreck when he was about 21 years old, I guess, wasn't he? 22. And that dear brother told me, he said, Brother Grigsby, he said, when I went to the funeral of my son, to the viewing, he said, I was so overwhelmed. I was grieving my heart, and I thought that my son accomplished nothing. People came. I'll give you an example. This one lady came, and him and his wife said to her, we don't know you. Who are you? And she said, oh, I'm one of the ones that your son helped out. Said, one morning I was on my way to work, and my car stopped, and I couldn't get to work. He pulled in behind me and said, what's going on? She said, I don't know, my car quit. Oh, he said, I can do a mechanic for it. Let me check it out. He checked it out. He had to have parts. She said, I don't have money for parts. He said, that's okay. You need to get to work. He called his workplace and made arrangements to be late. He went to the car parts store and came back with those parts and put them on her car and got her on the road. And then he went to work. He said, people came, person after person, that my son had helped. Nobody knew. God knew his heart. God knew his love. God accepted that. And he was a fine servant of God, because he manifested that love. He saw someone with need. See, your brother in need. That's an example. You know what? Remember, the disciples and the prophets. Both of them. and deliver them. Take heed. Take heed to the ministry that we receive. Forget it not. Then there's the heed. There's the need. What about the heed? Take heed to that ministry. You know what that heed is? You know what we take heed to? He that seeth. He that seeth. Remember the problem of the witness? But the Samaritan came along. You know what's talking about that story? The Jews had no there's the deal. The two ships. What did we say? James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not yours only, deceiving your own selves." When I moved back to Lewis County, Garrison, almost 7 years ago, I went to the funeral home for a funeral. There was a couple of them. Their kids came to that church, was born into that church as little babies. I think one of them not even made a profession of faith. But somewhere when those kids were about 12 or 13 years old, they just left. And I saw them at the funeral home. And I said, "Look, I haven't seen you in church since I've been here. Are you going to another church?" "No." "No." I said, "Well, I missed you." I said, "I used to preach to you all the time. I used to see you work in Sunday school and help work in the ministry, visit people in the hospital and everything. What's going on?" And one of them said to me, "Oh, can I dare say to you they don't have no faith?" You know how I know that? Faith is active. Faith without work is being done wrong. Don't let the devil rot. Don't let the devil. And going back there in the first chapter, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's a bold statement. That's not a mean, hateful thing. That's a good thing. What are you doing with your faith? What are you doing with your love? Is your walk and your talk in unison with the love of God? You have a proper relationship of love and caring toward him. I have no greater example than this. October 7th, 1967. I held Thelma's hand. We made our vows to one another. After all these years, I love her just as much now or more than I ever did. Every morning she sings a little love song to me. I won't tell you what it is. That's between her and I. And then I sang a little love song to her. Do we have to do that? No. That's our little thing that we do to express our love for one another. You know when that's going to stop? In death. It could be today, tomorrow, 6 months. Until death do we part. But you know something with Christ? Our fellowship's going to get sweeter in death. Because we'll never die. We'll just be carried by the angels into heaven where Jesus is. Live with Him forever. To bask in the sunshine of His love for one eternal day. God bless us to be a blessing to Him and others as we walk through this life. Practicing what we know to do. Loving Him. And we have fellowship with Him. Because we love others as we love Him. Why? That our joy may be full. Father, thank You for the messages this morning. Touch my heart. Lord, convict me of what I need to do. Lord, I can't point a finger and tell these people to do what they need to do. To do what I need to do, to humble myself before You. And love You more than I've ever loved You. To serve You more than I ever served You. And to walk that walk better. With more meaning and more compassion than I've ever walked before. And I can encourage others such as these. Bless the messages now. Bless this church. Give them the pastor they need. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Butterfly.